This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The March to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so the Texans, we know, should be in the market for a wide receiver. I think they need to draft one. I think they need to sign one. You have a room right now where it's Nico Collins, and then I guess the next guy is John Metchie and Xavier Hutchinson, as it currently stands. Deebo Samuel was a name out there that reportedly the Texans had been interested in, according to some sources out there. He is no longer available. He has been traded to the Washington Commanders for a fifth-round pick. The Commanders are taking on the entirety of his salary, which is around $18 million this year. I think he's in a contract year, so they make it a motivated version of Deebo Samuel at age 29. He's still at an age where, theoretically, in shape, he has gas left in the tank, Seth, I would say, right?
Right. The last time he was in a – it wasn't even in a contract year, but in 2021 when he exploded, he demanded a trade. Demanded one, and instead the 49ers gave him a big hefty contract, and he has not lived up to that contract at all in the ensuing years. So that's the big question is, all right, this guy who looked to be maybe about 10, 15, 20 pounds too heavy last year and disengaged and or just demanding the ball more despite not doing anything with it. I didn't really the only reason I would have wanted the Texans to trade for Deebo Samuel is if D'Amico, as Clint pointed out on the show on Friday, if D'Amico just felt like, hey, I know Deebo Samuel, I know how to get the best out of him, even though he didn't work with him directly, but that just a change of scenery could be really good for Deebo Samuel. So I wasn't overly hot on Deebo Samuel.
Neither were Texan fans. If you want to weigh in, you know, what was your gut reaction to seeing Deebo Samuel go for a fifth-round pick to the Washington Commanders? Again, $18 million in salary. And that's the big thing for me is it wasn't the pick. Like, if they gave a fourth or fifth for Deebo Samuel, that's fine. I mean, you pick other – between now and the draft, you can recoup that somehow, whether it's trading somebody else or, you know, trading back and picking up day three picks. Like, a day three pick for a guy like this, that doesn't – like, I would have done that. It's the money. The Texans don't have nearly – the cap space that Washington does. Washington had enough cap space to where they can take risky swings. And I think this is a risky swing. We're talking about a guy who has not played to that level of that type of money in a few years, as you said, Seth. The poll I put up yesterday is now closed. A few more people weighed in and voted this morning. In a trade for a mid-round pick, did you want Deebo Samuel on the Texans on his current deal? Around $18 million for the upcoming season. 87.1% of Texan fans said no. It really is incredible, like, the disconnect with San Francisco fans who are willing to just kick Deebo to the curb, Texan fans who, at least in this poll and in other reaction to the trade that I've seen, are like, hell no, we didn't want the guy. And then the report card for the Commanders on this trade, they're largely getting praised for it. And I'm guessing it's because, as you pointed out, they still have $60 million to go do with what they want even after this deal.
We brought up the Commanders as the team that it made the most sense for because they have so much cap space. Yeah. So if you're taking a flyer a little bit on a guy who is still young, he'll be 29 years old this year, that just a change of scenery might be just the trick. And that, you know, Washington's done, I think, a really good job with their culture. Dan Quinn's done a really good job at just kind of trying to build that thing into something that feels like, I think, how D'Amico wants his team to feel, that maybe it'll be as simple as that. And that also maybe with Cliff Kingsbury as his offensive coordinator, he can use him differently than they were using him in San Francisco. So it makes sense. I think that if you're going to take a bit of a risk or a gamble or a flyer, the team with a young quarterback who's got a boatload of cap space, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it was. You know what? This trade actually brought something out of the woodwork that we rarely see. You know,
what's that?
Micah Parsons with an actual good take.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. RJ Ochoa.
That's a bad sign. That's like a sign of the apocalypse.
I know. The Iguanas are winning the war. Manager and editor-in-chief of Blogging the Boys, covering the Dallas Cowboys, RJ Ochoa, tweeted this on March 1st, Saturday. The Dallas Cowboys gave up a fourth-round pick for Jonathan Mingo, trade deadline.
Yeah.
The Commanders gave up a fifth-round pick for Deebo Samuel, which is okay, I see where you're going with that. Like, you're throwing shade at the Cowboys is what you're doing. It's a false equivalency is what that is.
I thought you said this was a good take.
No. That was RJ Ochoa. I'm getting to Micah. Micah reacts to this.
Okay.
RJ Ochoa.
Just real quick, for those. So the big difference there is that Jonathan Mingo made $1.5 million, whereas Deebo Samuel is going to be making $18 million.
You're stealing Micah's thunder, Seth.
Oh,
this is Micah's take. Yeah, Micah retweets RJ Ochoa and says, Washington picked up almost $22 million on Debo's contract this year. This legit doesn't correlate at all.
Okay, you're right. I apologize. I wasn't following properly. Yeah, good call. Good call, Micah Parsons.
Yeah, Mike.
Good for you.
Micah's sticking up for the Cowboys, man.
Good job, man.
Good take. You're coming around, Micah. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Do you think somebody ghost wrote that tweet for him?
No,
Do you think CJ made that tweet for him?
No.
I think there's a 78% chance that Micah got that in a conversation with CJ.
You think?
They were sitting around playing video games or something, and that trade came down, and Micah was like, damn, we gave up the same for Jonathan Mingo. And CJ was like, no, dog. Listen, you got to look at the salary.
Let me explain the cap to you. Yes.
Yeah.
I thought Clint had an interesting question about this. I thought it was a bit flawed about this trade. And we know that the Texans traded a 2 for Diggs around this time last year, early April. And obviously the Commanders made this trade for Deebo over the weekend. Clint said, did the Texans overpay for Diggs or did the Commanders get a steal for Deebo? And I'm going, are those the only two choices here? Because without the benefit of hindsight on Diggs, I'm assuming we're meaning like the day of the trade. Because if we're penalizing the Diggs trade by knowing he got an ACL tear, then it's a silly question. So I'm assuming we mean like on the day the trade was made.
Yeah, because Diggs has been a really good receiver for the three preceding years.
He was a Pro Bowl. He was in four straight Pro Bowls with the Bills.
Right.
Yeah.
Where Deebo Samuel has not been a really good receiver for three straight years.
Right. And so my answer to Clint was, without the benefit of hindsight on Diggs, like if we're just saying on the day the trade was made, because that's all we can compare.
Yeah.
Is neither a good answer, because I don't think it was an overpay for Diggs. And I don't know that the Commanders got necessarily a steal for Deebo based on the salary. You know, maybe the draft compensation is whatever, it's a fifth. But you've got to factor in that you're paying virtually the same, you know, in that same neighborhood for both guys. You know, Diggs was 22, Debo's 18, so I call that the same neighborhood. And Debo's not been nearly the player over the last few years that would justify that salary level.
But the fifth round pick for the Commanders, it makes a lot of sense. They had a boatload of cap room and they, you know, need to help support their younger quarterback. I guess where it might blow up in their face is if Deebo Samuel shows up 20 pounds overweight and it does not seem to be. Remember, because Deebo, oh no, as Ayuk, I keep getting Ayuk and Deebo Samuel confused because they both agitated at various times.
Yep.
Last year it was Ayuk whose girlfriend was basically saying that we're out of here, right?
Yes.
At the end of the season. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Easy to conflate. Deebo San Francisco wide receiver. I can't remember.
Well, that's the other thing. If you look at it from San Francisco's standpoint, they knew they were taking a risk when they doled out as many big contracts as they did, but they felt like, all right, we've got a core that we've got to keep together here because we're in a Super Bowl window. And last year, it just collapsed completely. They thought last year would be the year that, hey, we're going to stretch, and all right, we'll bring Brandon Ayuk back, and it probably doesn't make great financial sense, partly because Ayuk just refused to get traded. Mm-hmm. but they redid Trent Williams' contract, and it just collapsed. It was even worse than when you go out and spend big in free agency and it doesn't work out. They spent big on their own guys, and it didn't work out.
Yeah. Do you buy that the Texans were as hardcore into a possible Debo deal as some of the reports were out there?
Well, Jordan Schultz's report was that the Commanders and the Texans were most interested. That feels to me like that 100% came from an agent, because the Texans don't leak stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I'm not. I think that the Texans probably had discussions that would have involved San Francisco paying some of Debo Samuel's salary, and that's probably where everything fell off. The Texans said, yeah, look, we'll give up such and such draft pick, but you got to pick up $7 or $8 million of his salary. And when they said no, then that was it. That's my guess.
That's the thing about being a GM that will pick up the phone and entertain almost anything for a minute, which I think Nick will. I don't think Nick Caserio closes the door on anything without having a discussion about it with whoever his peer is on the other end of the phone. And that's maybe the penalty that you get from doing that, is it gets construed as interest. And it's really just engagement is all it is, you know?
Yeah.
It's not, maybe not.
Maybe I was just looking, baby.
Yeah.
What do you, no.
Just kicking tires.
I saw a sale on peaches, and that happened to be in the direct line of sight of that lady.
Yeah.
That's all. But no.
Yeah.
I wasn't into her.
Just window shopping.
Yeah.
Text message, Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. I would have passed on Debo Samuel. Instead, the Texans should draft a receiver in the first round, sign two veteran free agent receivers, get rid of Mechie and Woods. That's from Robert in Richmond. Go Texans. They're not getting rid of Mechie. I mean, Mechie did some good things last year. Now, Mechie, wildly enough, he's heading into the last year of his rookie deal. We're here. Here we are.
Now, the whole thing about, I think, both Xavier Hutchinson and John Mechie is, I think they've got value as a complementary piece. And maybe there's an upside with the new offensive coordinator. Both those guys, kind of independent of who the coordinator is, they weren't getting great separation. There wasn't a lot of things that you could get really excited about with them. So, but I do think that they can have a role on a good offense as complementary pieces. So I don't think you need it. And they're cheap right now. That's the other big thing. So the recommendation that listener had, it sounds great, except that it's a whole lot of moving parts with a whole lot of money attached to it. So going out and getting veteran wide receivers and going out and getting spending a first rounder on a wide receiver, it's hard to get all that done in one offseason.
Yeah, and with the veteran free agent wide receivers, it depends on what bin you're shopping in. There'll be plenty of guys out there in that $4 or $5 million range.
Did he say to sign a veteran and draft a guy?
He said, I'll read it again. Instead, the Texans should draft a receiver in the first round and sign two veteran free agent wide receivers.
The guys that are like younger Robert Woods types?
Maybe. I think of like guys like Mac Hollins, DeMarcus Robinson, who Nick Cayley has familiarity with.
Yeah.
And he was a really nice downfield threat for them this past season, who probably cost he's probably in that $5-7 million range, something like that. That makes sense.
Okay, I like his plan. The sticker shock hit me at first with the total numbers. I think either John Mechie or Xavier Hutchinson for sure. They're going to be in camp.
Oh, yeah.
And at least one of them sticks around.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And you just hope for the best that you see the best version of them with a different offensive coordinator and perhaps just a better plan.
No doubt. No doubt about that. Payne and Pendergast with you. No on Debo. He seems like an oxygen-sucking diva. Horrible decision for the Commanders to pair him with a developing QB. I don't think it's a horrible decision for the Commanders. I think it would have been a very risky decision for the Texans based on the cap space. That's all.
Wonder, though, with all that cap space that they do have, though, if it's – now maybe they go out and sign T. Higgins, too. I guess that's where you could look at it from that lens that, okay, they went out and made a trade for a guy that they're going to have to pay a bunch of money. And all of a sudden, they have a boatload of salary cap space. But if there's one thing I've learned about in this life, Sean, you never have as much money as you think you have.
It's true.
It goes really fast.
It does.
Okay? Pay attention to boxing every now and then.
Hey.
As what happened to Mike Tyson's fortune. It goes real, real fast. So
it does.
So if you're doing that, but then you also, maybe they still go out and go after a T. Higgins, and maybe that actually happens. But if that's their only move when they could have made something more aggressive, then that's where I could see in hindsight looking more down on this trade.
Seth, if there's money problems, you know, you can always Google unclaimed property in each state. Because looky here.
How much did you get?
$297, baby.
Yeah, you're a lightweight. Did you see what one of our listeners got?
I did, and his wife, too. I don't know if we're looking at the same one, but we had a listener that I think tweeted us. So I think we were, like, he got like $300 and she got like $700, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They cleared a grand.
Yeah.
Because they listened to Payne and Pendergast.
That's it, man. That's
He didn't even have to call in the hotline and wait or anything like that.
Nope.
He got $1,000 specifically because he was listening to Payne and Pendergast.
That's it, man. It wasn't even a contest. It was just us giving good advice out. That's all.
You cannot turn it off.
Yeah.
You have to stay tuned. But now you and I have to find out different ways to make our listeners
make money. Our listeners money, yeah. Other than this, yeah.
But if you haven't heard Sean and I talk about it, just go to Texas Unclaimed Property, and it's be sure you go to the one that's .gov.
Yes.
And it's stuff that's sitting out there. Sometimes it's refunded insurance premiums. Mm-hmm. It's dividends from old mutual funds that you forgot you had, whatever it might be. It's just sitting there waiting for you.
I had $28 in a FanDuel account that had been sitting there forever that I forgotten about.
Oh, wow.
Sitting there. Yeah. Yeah.
Think about it. You would have turned that into like probably $4,000 by now. If
FanDuel?
You didn't gamble with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, man, but I'm holding my check right here. Proof. Proof. Now, nice. You can't snap a picture of it on YouTube. I've already cashed it. All right?
I found some more Florida unclaimed property that
I...
Yeah, but it's just, and it, you know, it's the same. I got to turn it over to Brandy because they just want two pieces of documentation. And I went and I found them. They're sitting on PDFs in my computer, but it's a whole extra step.
Amy
now.
Did mine.
I got to go submit it again. I got to go find the email. This could take years for me to figure it out.
No, ironically, the two guys giving out the best advice are the two worst at wanting to do the actual legwork to get it done, which is why we're married to two great people. They can do it
for us. What's wrong with us, though? Because this is, I know, it's 15 minutes that I would have to spend on this to earn $200.
Right.
That's a wage of $800 an hour.
It's a good
like,
wage,
I feel
man.
Like that's a pretty good wage for the likes of
You're
me.
You're practically an attorney at that wage.
And I'm just sitting here like, I don't know. Hulu's sitting there waiting for me.
Yeah,
all
right. Oh, you mean I got to upload?
All right, that's it. All right, that's it. I'm going to take 15 minutes to earn $200 of my own
Not
money
right now.
At the end. No, at the end of the show.
Okay,
at the end
good,
of the show.
Good, good.
I'm going to do it, man.
You're welcome to everybody out there. I trust you that you'll do it. All right, yeah. So I got $200 from unclaimed money 2 months ago. Oh, $1,200. Wow, good for you. Yeah, text in if you took the advice from me and Seth. Maybe we'll organize a big meetup and go spend it on booze. We'll go spend it on hookers and blow. Yeah.
You know what I can't put this has always intrigued me because this company exists, but I won't put it in our Google Doc of business ideas, is that there's companies that will send you emails or letters saying like, hey, we found some unclaimed property that's yours. All you have to do is pay us a commission and we'll go do it. And I don't know. It just feels... It's something that you could just as easily do yourself, and you're going to have to provide the same
20%,
documentation.
Yeah.
But they're giving themselves like a finder's fee for, you know, bringing it to your attention.
The legwork.
Maybe you and I need to start charging our listeners finder's fees.
We should.
Do we have a QR code?
Look, we can get one.
Okay.
Ben, draw.
Do I have if you have Venmo, do you have a QR code? Generate it on Venmo.
I think you do.
Right?
You do have a QR code on Venmo. Yes.
You're going to be
yes.
so rich by the end of this week.
Oh, my God. By the end of the show. Yeah. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. All right. KHOU did a one-hour documentary on the fall of Deshaun Watson. I watched it yesterday. In the spirit of the Academy Awards, the Oscars this weekend, I'm going to give my review on the fall of Deshaun Watson on KHOU. That is coming up next.